this continuum here, which goes up until infinity and which is called scattering states, essentially those states which also live outside the potential. Yeah, and now we rewrite the Schrödinger equation into an integral equation. We do it in the following way. The first step is to write the Schrödinger equation in the following form. Laplace plus k square phi k of r equal 2m over h bar square v of r phi k of r. Nothing serious happened here. I just wrote for e this expression proportional to k square, and I took this thing to set side and this thing to set side here. So the idea is essentially to isolate the difficult part with the potential on the right hand side and the easy part, which corresponds to the free Schrödinger equation in a certain sense on the left hand side. This will help in a minute, as you'll see. Then what we need to do to find an integral equation is use the Green's function of or for this operator on the left hand side of Laplace plus k square. Here the Green's function is known or can rather easily be calculated. I think it's also part of, I suppose, the next homework sheet. Not sure, it depends probably who taught you theoretical physics, whether you did it or not. Such Green's functions can be derived using the residue theorem. Do you remember? Did you do it? Basically, you transform to Fourier space and then one integral is left and the integral can be solved or written down by looking at poles with a residue theorem. In any case, you will do it via homework and I'll give you the Green's function. It's a very short, simple mathematical expression in a minute. I think more important is to remember what a Green's function is. A Green's function allows you to get a Partikulärlösung. What is, here's the name in English, a specific solution to a non-zero right-hand side of a differential equation. It doesn't give you the full solution, only one specific solution, and the full solution is then obtained by adding the complete solution of the homogeneous equation. So in our case, we will treat this one, even so phi appears as an inhomogeneity, and this one as the differential operator, and the homogeneous solution is the solution to this operator here. This is quite easy because it's a free Schrödinger equation, and for this thing here, we will use the Green's function to write down an integral. So this is the strategy we are following. Okay, so use the Green's function, and this line is not the definition of the Green's function. It's more, it's a defining equation for the Green's function, but not the concrete expression. So the Green's function has, or any Green's function has to have the following property. Operator applied to the Green's function must be the Della function. The index plus has also not a very deep meaning. A Green's function is never unique. You can take any Green's function, add any homogeneous solution to this differential operator, and obtain another Green's function fulfilling the same equation. And the Green's function with plus has specific boundaries conditions which are very useful in our case. And in the homework, you will calculate and try your luck with a different Green's function. And hopefully you will see that it's not as easy. So it's just a name, G plus. Okay, so if we have a function fulfilling this equation, then we can write down the integral equation, namely phi k of r is phi k homogeneous of r plus, you know, the essential thing whenever you have a Green's function is you integrate over all of your coordinates, then you use the Green's function r minus r prime v of r prime and phi k of r prime. And yeah, if you don't remember in detail that Green's functions are used in that way, what's definitely easy is to, if you guess this thing here, to show that it's equivalent to the thing where you started, because just make the test, plug in for the Green's function. First of all, write down the operator in front of the thing, then you have immediately the left-hand side recovered here. On the right-hand side, you also need, of course, then to write down the operator. The operator on the homogeneous thing is zero by definition. This is what the homogeneous solution is. The operator to this term here can be exchanged with the integration, because the operator is a derivative in R, and the integration in another spatial coordinate, which I called r prime. So we can put the derivative operator here, and then we have the derivative operator acting on the Green's function, which is giving you a delta, and a delta inside an integral is easy. You have delta r minus r prime then, which kills the r prime integration, and all r prime are replaced by r. So essentially what you get is a prefactor times v times phi k, which is your right-hand side. So I'm not sure how often and how many times you use Green's function. If it's easy, then it's good. If not, then I would say it's anyway time to repeat it. So maybe don't look at the script as a very brief homework. Just take this equation and try to formulate this thing as far as you remember, and then make the check as I just explained in words. So in any case, this is what we were aiming at. As I said here, the Schrödinger equation is now written down in an integral equation, because there's no differential operator anymore, but it's also not a simple integral, it's an integral containing also the function we are interested in as an integrand. So it's phi k here and phi k here, and this is called integral equation. But still, such an equation is typically simpler than a differential equation. In particular, we can solve it order by order. So what we will later do is take the left-hand side, insert it here, which is, in a certain sense, a first-order approximation. If you want to go better, you take the left-hand side again, insert it again and again and again and again. And when the potential is weak enough, it's kind of a, one could also say, perturbative expansion, then at some point what you get when you reinsert and reinsert it becomes smaller and smaller. Okay, so just to complete it, I said it already in words, but the phi homogeneous is Laplace, or has the property Laplace plus k square phi k hom of r is zero. Coming back the one thing I said in the repetition, and also I said yesterday, namely why I chose the index k here to label the eigenfunctions. The reason is this is now an integral equation for every eigenfunction, and basically they differ not in the last part, but they differ in this homogeneous part here. Or in other words, when we find all solutions to the homogeneous equation, a complete set of solutions, a complete set of our energy eigenfunctions is given by taking the first one, the second one, the third one of these homogeneous basis functions and then solving the integral equation. But the full set of basis functions spanning the homogeneous, the complete homogeneous solution is easy because it's just this equation here. Laplace plus constant phi is zero. And what is the solution here, or what are the basis functions for this equation? It's plane waves, because it's just the free equation. It's nothing else than rewriting the free Schrödinger equation by taking the energy eigenvalue also to the left-hand side and writing k square instead. And for the free Schrödinger equation, you know also from the early weeks of quantum mechanics one, they are labeled by the momenta, and this is exactly the reason why we can or do also label our phi case by the momenta here. So if you didn't like introducing k here, then write in your personal notes some index n, but now at this point you can make the transition n to k, and you see it's appropriate to label your eigenfunctions by k. So solutions are e to the plus I k r. There's a proper normalization, but this is not so important, divided by 2 pi over 3/2. And this is basically the reason for using k as index. Okay, so the next line is almost the same here, but it's in a certain sense the final result for our phi case integral equation. So I write it down again. What we have found now, phi k of r is, now I put in a particular basis function of our homogeneous solution, namely this basis function corresponding to momentum k. So in a certain sense, it's the plane wave with momentum k, and then plus identically what I wrote on the upper board, namely the integral expression with the Green's function . Okay, now before we or you could start calculating phi k by evaluating somehow the integral here, I need to provide finally a concrete expression for g plus, so Green's function is known and also, as I said, not so difficult to derive. The g plus of r is minus 1 over 4 pi e to the plus I kr no vector divided by r. Yeah, perhaps as a hint to remember, this Green's function, essentially it's a Green's function you should have seen in your third semester, and definitely you saw it at least for a special choice of the parameters and used it many times. Perhaps you didn't use the word or didn't know that it's a Green's function. But consider again the operator. The operator was Laplace plus k square. When you set k to 0, what kind of physics does the Green's function then describe? Very important physics. Took you many months, at least many weeks of homework sheets, etc., to solve. So now it's Laplace plus k square is 0. When you only have Laplace applied to a function is 0, what equation is this?
Poisson equation.
Poisson equation, so electrostatics in the vacuum or with charges or whatever. So say. And this is exactly what you should remember. When you set k to 0, you have 1 over r times 1 over phi 4 pi. And this is exactly the contribution from a single point charge in electrostatics. So this is a certain check at least that this Green's function makes sense. And obviously, when you add a constant, then you also need to extend this somehow, but it's not so difficult. It's just extended by a phase factor. But shouldn't be too surprising that at least this is a crude structure when you think back to electrodynamics. And yes, also this equation here, I'm not sure how familiar or not the use of Green's function is. What you certainly remember is from electrostatics again, when you computed the electrostatic potential, you wrote down an integration over rho, the charge density, rho is the right-hand side of the Poisson equation, times the Green's function, and yeah, this is nothing else than the charge density times 1 over r, so the contribution from every electrical charge. So maybe at that point you didn't call it Green's function or whatever, but you certainly wrote down the electrostatic potential by summing over all charges and using 1 over r for every charge. Okay, some more comments to the Green's function. The script I wrote, even r is r vector absolute value, which is, I think, quite common and clear. Another property, g plus of r in terms of quantum mechanics is an outgoing spherical wave. This you can calculate or convince yourself by taking the or computing the probability current density. This is something we did, I think, a week or so ago in our 1D example. And you see that the probability current, when you take this as your center, your origin, is going outward. It's kind of a spherical wave because here you have the radial coordinate, and again, when you calculate it with momentum k, this is what you find. And this is also, in a certain sense, intuitively what you physically expect. You send a particle to the potential, and then the probability to find the particle is going outward from the potential because it's in a certain sense describing the probability of a scattered particle. And yeah, this is exactly the reason why the index plus is used, because as I said, it's not unique, the choice of a Green's function, and mathematically also possible is, for example, a minus, and then you have a minus here, which is exactly the opposite, namely an ingoing wave. And an ingoing wave is a bit of a weird thing when you think about scattering processes. At that point of our mathematics, it wouldn't make any difference, but at a later step, which is also a challenge for you in the homework, one operation will not be allowed, or it requires that we have G plus here. So G plus is much more convenient to use, and you should keep this in mind when you, for example, consult the literature and find different choices or common choices for a Green's function for this operator. So for us, it's not 100% clear now, maybe only intuitively a good sign that it's an outgoing wave, but later we need this particular choice, otherwise, as I said, a mathematical operation won't work in mathematics, would be much, much more complicated to arrive again at the same and correct result. Yeah. Okay, so do not write down again and again the same thing. I eliminate G now and insert this here, and then what we have is plus I k r minus r prime divided by r minus r prime and slightly different prefactor 2 pi h bar squared. Yeah, was anyway a mistake here. So this is one of our important results of this lecture. It is not really a solution, but at least a step towards a solution. We understood why to use the index k. We have an integral equation which we can solve, as I said, by, for example, plugging in the left-hand side into the right-hand side again and again and again. And at some point, not anymore, which means in the last time you insert it, you just use a plane wave for phi k, and then you have an approximate integral expression which you can either solve analytically or possibly with your computer. But this is definitely a much nicer and simpler equation than the Schrödinger equation here, which is a partial differential equation. And a partial differential equation with some complicated potential or function inside is basically a nightmare. Also numerically, it's much more difficult than what we found, and which is outlined by a blue box. Maybe I forgot it. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I think we are almost exactly half through. It's 11 o'clock now. Let's continue at 11:05. So, as I already told you a week or so ago, the mathematics will be lengthy and complicated for this 3D scattering. So, I try, or it's important to me that you don't lose your orientation, that at least you know what our current goals are and where we are. So the first thing we achieved today is this block starting here and ending here, basically finding an integral equation for the energy eigenfunctions of our Hamilton operator. Now, another thing starts, namely, remember in 1D scattering, we had this quantity S of E, which describes the probability of a particle going through or being reflected. And in the next maybe 15 minutes, we derive an equivalent quantity, which is called scattering amplitude for the 3D problem. So this is what we are going to do now. And yeah, the first statement or remark here is detectors are typically far away from R equals zero, so they are far outside the potential. If the green things are our detectors, and I draw this in this picture, maybe here's a detector, and here's a detector, and here or so. Certainly, the detectors are not somewhere inside the potential. This would be a disaster to measure such a thing. We really want the particle to hit the potential, being somehow reflected, scattered, whatever, and then leave the potential and go out in free space like a plane wave again before it hits the detector, because then we only need to measure the direction and the velocity or momentum to understand, yeah, what we found in our detector. And this is what I mean with the statement, detectors are far away from R equals zero, or from the potential V of R. And yeah, mathematically, this means we are interested in phi k of r for r much bigger than r. And yeah, in our integral equation, r prime is smaller than r. So yeah, this thing here is general. Now we can simplify it for large r, and the r prime here refers to this integration, and r prime can be limited inside a sphere of radius capital R, because there's a term V of r prime, and the potential, as we said, is localized. It's zero outside the region of capital R. So we can, for example, write down, if you would like, this condition here without changing the overall expression. Okay, and yeah, since we are interested now in large R, we can do certain expansions. So the first thing I write down is Nebenrechnung, some kind of helper calculation, the following, the expression k r minus r prime, which appears, for example, in the exponent here, can be simplified under this condition in the following way. First of all, I write the absolute value as a square root r square minus 2r r prime plus r prime squared. And now I do a Taylor expansion in first order. The leading order is kr, and the next order is kr vector over r times r prime. And yeah, this is a simple exercise you can do, or you immediately see it. As an advanced theorist, you can directly write it down when you remember the Taylor expansion of the square root up to first order. And we introduce a name because it's the following. This combination will appear quite often and will be quite common. We define it as k tilde of k, theta, and phi. In words, it's a vector which has length k, length of our momentum, but direction of our spatial coordinate. Therefore, it depends on the length of the momentum vector k, and it's the two angles theta and phi, which give the direction of the spatial vector. Clearly, it's only the direction because we have the vector r divided by its length. As I said, this is just a remark before we can now simplify our blue equation up there. And the whole thing, of course, is now for this condition phi k of r is now 1 over 2 pi over 3 half e to the plus I k r plus e to the plus I k r without vector divided by r f k of theta phi. And I introduced a new quantity fk, and this is some prefactor which is not so relevant. And then the following thing, integration over r prime e to the minus I k tilde of k theta phi, this quantity which we just introduced, v of r prime phi k of r prime. Okay, so what happened from here to here? The left part of the right hand side, nothing happened. The plane wave is still there. What we did now with the integral expression, we have 2 times r minus r prime here and here. And basically, we insert this expansion here because we are considering the limit of large r. And there's kind of a bit of a subtle thing in the denominator. So here is the r minus r prime, only the leading order kr is inserted, which gives a division by just r without any integration. And in the exponent, k times r minus r prime, also the first order is considered. I'll say in a minute why we are allowed to drop one order more down here compared to up here. And then not so much from the integral survives, or at least the integrand is simplified. The 1 over r minus r prime is gone here. It's, as I said, just the r here, which is independent of the integration. In certain sense, the reason is that r prime is very small compared to r. So basically, inserting r in the limit r to infinity is fine. And the integral, which is still there, is defined as this new function f. And v and phi are just copied from above there. And here in the exponent, this first order is taken into account. So now, maybe again, you might be unhappy because down here I considered only the zeroth order, while up here I considered the first order. The reason is the following. When we really send R to infinity, which is a good approximation in our experiments. Then here in the denominator, when we have this thing here, R minus R vector over absolute value of R. R goes to infinity, but this one is of order one. So we have a term which is infinitely many times as large as the next one. Therefore, in the limit, it doesn't contribute at all. It's slightly different here in a phase factor, because in a phase factor, we have maybe a very large thing here, but still in the integration, also the next order contributes. Or you could also put it in different words, assume you drop this order completely. Then you wouldn't have a phase factor, but the identity. Calculate it and calculate another version with this phase factor included. This phase factor, k tilde here, is a finite quantity because k is finite. R vector over R is of order one. And this is your integration argument. So when you drop it and when you don't drop it and you compare the two expressions, you have once just the average over V and phi, and in the other case, the Fourier transform of V times phi. And this will clearly be a completely different thing. The next order can be dropped in the exponent because the next order, when you write down even one more order, it's suppressed in one more power of R. So it's in a certain sense infinitely small, but here we need it as a finite thing, otherwise we would make a huge mistake.
Is there an R of R prime thing in the exponent?
Here?
Nein, im Exponent.
Ein R vergessen, ja. Ich muss wahrscheinlich ein R. Prime sein, genau. Sonst macht es natürlich keinen Sinn. Ja. Okay, so maybe think about it again. I didn't find it too trivial. It took me quite some time to understand it, why first and zeros order are sufficient in one place and in the other place. In any case, what you see here is an extremely important equation in scattering theory. I would say it's the central result of today's lecture. And what we did here is we introduced a new quantity. It has a name. It's called scattering amplitude. And it is what I told you 10 minutes ago, equivalent to S of E in 1D scattering. And the reason is, I think, almost obvious. This here is the ingoing wave, and this here is the outgoing spherical wave, so the thing which is scattered. And the scattered thing has a weight factor, which depends on the solid angle, on the angle theta and phi. And of course, when f is large for given theta and phi, this means that many particles are scattered in this direction. When it's small or even zero, then it means nothing is scattered in this direction. So basically, this function fk, we'll see it in more detail also in the next lecture, but fk contains, roughly speaking, all the information about the probability of a particle being scattered at the potential as a function of every possible solid angle. And therefore, when you have computed successfully the scattering amplitude for a potential or a model or some theory, then you know basically everything. You can immediately compare to experiment And therefore, this is the most important and central quantity in scattering theory. And all this mathematics last time and today essentially served the purpose of arriving at this expression here, having a rather obvious interpretation: ingoing plane wave, which is a particle beam, outgoing spherical wave, which is a scattered thing, and here the information about the probabilities in which directions is contained. And now, of course, also this is important because this expression here is completely independent from your concrete scattering problem. Any potential which is localized has the same expression, but of course the scattering amplitude is different. There you need to solve an integration. And yeah, this is what you should really remember, or when you write on a piece of paper the most essential equations from this lecture, this section, this should definitely be one of them. So this was the next major point. Maybe what I said was not quite correct. The FK is maybe not the information about the full scattering process. It's the information about a particular plane wave, which means a continuous particle beam with a certain momentum. But our original problem was slightly more difficult. We wanted to describe a single particle expanded as a wave packet in terms of plane waves. And to understand how such a wave packet or single particle behaves, we need the scattering amplitudes for every k. And what we also need, if you think back 1 hour, is the expansion coefficient. We expanded our initial wave function psi zero in terms of plane waves, called the expansion coefficient small a. And yeah, later in the time evolution, we had also a similar expansion coefficient, but which was called capital A. And I told you an hour or so ago, we need to find the eigenfunctions of the Hamilton operator, which we basically did now in form of this equation. And we also need to determine the capital A. And what I do now in the next couple of minutes is I show you that the capital A is exactly identical to the small a, which we know because it's in a certain sense the input parameter, how we prepare our wave function at t zero. So, yeah, it's a bit of a technical calculation. So the main goal is determine A of K. As a reminder, it's needed for T time evolution. And yeah, we start this equation. '83 was nothing else than our prepared wave packet at an early time before the scattering, psi of r t0. We called it psi 0 of r, and we wrote it down as normalization factor times momentum integration times wave function in momentum space and e to the plus I kr. So this is nothing we can determine. This is input of our theory, or depends on the experiment. How the particle beam, for example, is prepared, or a single particle is prepared. Here you will also do a homework sheet, I think, for next week. So you need to be a bit creative and think about what a reasonable A of k could be for a scattering experiment. And now, yeah, we would like to relate it to the A here. And this is what we are going to do in the next couple of lines. Still, we continue a bit this calculation here. We insert equation 93. And equation 93 is the blue equation on top of the upper board. And when we do this, we have integral d3k a of k phi k of r plus m over 2 pi h bar square integral d3 r prime e to the plus I k r minus r prime divided by r minus r prime v of r prime phi k of r prime. Okay, so at the moment it looks like we haven't gained anything. We want to make a relation to capital A, but we don't have any capital A. We just blew up our equation. The reason why I inserted this thing here, and I inserted it by solving with respect to the plane wave, so bringing the integral to the left-hand side. The reason why I did it, in a minute I'll show that this lengthy thing here is identical to zero. So we only have an integration over momentum space, small a times the eigenfunctions. And this is, if you remember an hour or so ago, exactly the same shape of an equation where our capital A appeared. So when I can show that this is zero, I can compare coefficients and I find what I already told you, that small a is identical to capital A. This is the idea of the whole thing, why I made it now longer in the first place, and it seems more complicated, but in fact, when I find an argument for this one to vanish, it's not any more complicated. Yeah, and this is basically the next point, finding or providing an argument why the integral goes away. It's again about using our assumptions and conditions. It's a bit technical now because k0, which is defined as absolute value of k0, is much bigger than k minus k0. This was condition 2 when we prepared the wave function. We did it in detail in the last lecture. It, in a certain sense, means that the momentum distribution of our particle is very close to a given momentum k0. So for example, the wave function of the particle is very sharp and traveling in one direction. What you want to avoid with this condition is that the Wellenpaket zerläuft sehr schnell. It's distributing in any direction. If the momentum is not very sharp, you have components going backwards, other ones going forwards. So this means roughly a good localization of momentum. And when we have this, we can again do a Taylor expansion of the following expression. K can be written as k0 plus k minus k0 squared, and of this is square root. This one is then small because of this thing here, and now again do your Taylor expansion. I think I don't need to carry it out. If you're interested, do it as a one or two line additional homework. You find that this is a leading order which is coming out. So it means k can be written as vector k times the direction of the central momentum k0 in a certain sense. We'll insert this later. It's, as I said, more a technical thing, not a really important physical statement you need to remember. Now coming back to this integral here to show that it's 0. Do it with color. Exchange integrals is what I'm doing, and then we can consider the k integral and everything which depends on k, which is a of k e to the plus I k r minus r prime phi k of r prime. Now I guess we use this approximation here to write integral d3 k a of k e to the plus I k k0 hat r minus r prime phi k0 of r prime. Here I also used that k is almost identical to k0, basically against this condition here. Now if you look very carefully what kind of integral is there, you can find it's 2 pi over 3 over 2, and then psi k0 hat r minus r prime t0 phi k0 of r prime. So what happened here? Why suddenly the wave function psi appearing? The reason is, or the wave function psi at time t0, the wave function is, also the reason is that the wave function psi at times t0 was written as a k integration with a coefficient ak and a plane wave. And this is exactly what you find here, a of k, here a plane wave. This one is not part of the k integral anymore because we approximated k by k0. And the only difference is that the argument of the plane wave is not anymore R, but a more complicated thing, k0 hat times this absolute value R minus R prime. And this is what I inserted here. And yeah, this helps a lot, or this is necessary for the argument, because I think I need to draw again a picture. This was a projectile, and this was the potential V of R. And the wave function psi of R comma t 0 is unequal 0 only somewhere here. This was one of our conditions, that at an early time it's far away from the potential. And now we can check here in detail, where do we evaluate the wave function psi? It's at R minus R prime, which is a positive number here because of the absolute values, times the direction k0 hat. And k0 is our momentum going in this direction. So the wave function is evaluated exactly here. And since it's localized here, but evaluated here, this whole thing is zero or almost zero in an extremely good approximation. So it's, as I said, you don't learn much physically from this calculation, but still it gives you a reason why you can ignore this term, and this will immediately help us in a minute. Maybe not the nicest writing on the blackboard, but I don't want to copy too much. So what we found now is this one is identical to that one here. So in the script, what I underlined now is equation 98. So you have it more clearly written. The last step is now comparing coefficients with equation 85, and equation 85 was, maybe I write it down once more, so it's clear what we were doing. Equation 85 was psi of RT0 is integral D3K AK of phi k of r, where this one is unknown. This is, as I told you, the goal to determine now. And if we compare this thing here and our equation 85, it's not very difficult what's coming out for ak. Everything is identical with the exception of small a and capital A. Therefore, A of k is our small a of k. And again, small a of k is your input or the experiment you're doing, and capital A is needed in the time evolution. What we, in a certain sense, achieved in this next block here is the following: the time evolution of our wave function is now, to a good approximation, given as integral d3k e to the minus I e k t minus t0 over h bar. This we had already, but now not anymore capital, but small a of k and phi k of r. Okay, so now we are almost there. I told you at the beginning of the lecture what we would like to compute is a time evolution of our wave function. We know now the expansion coefficient because this is exactly how we prepared our wave package. In a certain sense, we know, or we made big progress in computing phi k. We are, yeah, the lowest equation here on the board, so now we have almost all the ingredients to be more concrete and study scattering in detail. We have 8 minutes left. I'm not sure whether we can cover the next point, but let's try it, because then we have finished another full subsection. I think probably the last part is not so important, was rather technical. So what we are now going to do in our last part of this subsection is also a very nice property, which is quite general. I use this space to draw a picture again. We have our target going in, and we have our potential V of R where it's scattered. And yeah, how can I draw or say this in the most easy way? No, maybe not such a good picture. We have, let's think about a Gaussian wave packet. The Gaussian wave packet is going in with momentum k. And now assume for a moment V of R is not present if it's zero. Then at some later time, it would go through this region where for a moment the potential is ignored, and the wave packet would just go through with almost the same shape, modulus effect that it will broaden in time, but when the time scale is rather small, it looks almost identical like this. And what I'm going to show you now is the following. There's still some part of our probability going through, and there's another part which is scattered with a potential in all possible directions. So this now is now the case V of R is unequal zero. We have our potential back. And the probability to find the particle in a certain direction, we discussed this already, is given by the scattering amplitude. But now the statement is about the radial distribution of our wave packet. And the statement I'm going to derive is the following, that what is going through is also appearing in the scattering part of the wave function in an identical shape. So however or in whatever way your wave function is prepared, if it has, for example, a bit of a more weird shape, then it's probably clearer what I want to say. For example, due to some reason you prepared it with two dips, then also your scattered things behave like this. It's not very implausible that what you send in comes out in the same shape in every possible direction, but still we need to convince ourselves, and this is what I'm going to derive. Or I think probably now only 4 minutes left. Makes no sense to start the derivation now, but this is basically the fact which is now missing and which I'm sketching at the beginning of the next lecture. Anyway, the mathematics is not so important. More important is that you understood what I just said and remember this fact, that the shape of the wave function in the ingoing direction is identical to the radial shape of the scattered wave functions. This is what you should remember. So let me use the remaining 3 minutes at repeating what we did today. First big thing was finding an integral equation for our eigenfunction of the Hamilton operator. We repeated the Green's functions. This is a formalism you should really know or understand. If not, then it's time to really put some work into this. In this process, we also understood why the index k, the momentum index, is a proper index to describe or to label the eigenfunctions. And we also understood why bound states do not need to be considered in the time evolution. Then number two was simplifying the eigenfunctions for large r, far away from the potential, basically where the particle hits the detector. And there it's much simpler. In particular, the wave function for given momentum is an ingoing plane wave, an outgoing spherical wave, and a very important object, namely the scattering amplitude, which depends on the momentum, on theta and on phi, so in a certain sense on the solid angle. And basically computing a scattering process is solving this integral equation here for f of k. Then what's not anymore on the board or only in parts is we found our coefficients in the time evolution, which are needed to study a single particle, not a continuous beam, are rather simple, namely the unknown coefficients are exactly the coefficients how we prepared our wave packet. And finally, I didn't derive it, the statement that a wave function, whatever the shape in the ingoing direction is, you will find the same shape in the radial directions of the scattered particles or scattered contributions of the wave functions. So four things we learned today. Again, it's complicated and a bit tedious mathematics, but also for oral exams, probably what I said now in the last 2 minutes, this is what you really should memorize. I mean, certainly when I sit with you in the oral exam, I don't remember whether there's a factor of square root of 2 pi or something in front of it, and I won't ask it, but these general concepts, this is what you should learn and memorize and take away. So this is my tip, try to not get lost in these 3 or 4 weeks of complicated mathematics and always try to think what have we achieved and what are our goals, and maybe scattering theory is not anymore so difficult at the end. Okay, then see you in 2 days.